So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Axis Communications. And thanks also to our supporting partner, 3X Logic. Now, my guest this week is Gary Moncur. Gary is Senior Manager, Asset Protection for Murphy USA, an American corporation that operates retail gas stations. Gary oversees all aspects of loss prevention and safety efforts within the company, and I'm sure a whole lot more that we might get to learn when we speak to him. And a hard-to-believe near 40 years of experience in the retail industry, Gary's had a raft of experience from store management, procurement, analytics, regional LP, through to LP director roles as well. Previous retailers include Babies R Us, Dollar General, as well as being national AP director for Compass Group, also in the US. Gary, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to join us this week.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning from Texas.
Yeah, and I can see the first thing I have to acknowledge is that's a very strong Texan accent still coming through there. So nice to see with all of your international roles that, you haven't lost any of the lingo and the twang.
Trying not to.
I imagine you sort of get up every morning, stare in the mirror and practice your dialect. But look, you've got a really in-depth career to date. But way back when, young Gary sat at school, high school, junior school, staring out of the window. It's what were you dreaming of way back when? What was the goal?
Dreaming of, my father was always in business for himself. So naturally I thought, I'm going to go, whatever he does, I'll be with him, right? Then he moved to America in my late teens. So okay. I finished secondary school, came over here. That was just, I came to visit. I thought, I like this. I'll come back. I'll try this again. Let's give it a go. So I moved, it took me a couple of years, got all the paperwork done, came over and thought, I'll try it for four or five years. Let's give this a shot. And next thing you know, I'm here for almost, shy 40 years. So to answer your question, I thought when I came here, I didn't know what I was going to do. Luckily, and I mean extremely luckily, I landed within 2 weeks at Toys R Us.
Okay.
Right from the beginning is when I got here. And that really was the beginning of I didn't realize it then, it was the beginning of a great career in this country.
What was that first role at Toys R Us?
It was, I got into a trainee management program back then. And it was literally learning the business, day to day. And, gradually through the years was able to move up. Prior to moving to America, I did work in retail in Edinburgh selling computers in the very early days of the computer industry. But once I got over here, it took off. It was retail. And then before you knew it, you had a career path lined out. You could see store management, district manager, possibly. But along the way, I was extremely fascinated by the loss prevention process, if you will. I had never seen anything like it in Scotland when I got here. So that got my interest early on.
And was that sort of fascinated by, the glamour of chasing the bad guys down the street, or
process. My experience was more watching the LP loss prevention manager come in. You had the typical auditing, but when there was an integrity case, I was absolutely fascinated by the process of how that came to be. Now, in the very beginning, I had no idea what was going on. You saw the individual come in, and the next thing they're leaving, and so were some other employees that were following behind them. And you wanted to know more. And through the years, I learned that exactly what was taking place, and learned more about it. And the further up that I moved in the company with respect to store management roles, I became more of that process on loss prevention side, but more at the management side. And I was the person who eventually was calling the LP manager to come in and take care of things.
And so was it at Toys R Us that you made that first transition across to being interested to actually an LP role? What prompted the shift? What happened? Did you get a tap on the shoulder and say, we think you'd be brilliant over here? You've got a stern face and we'd never play poker with you? Or, what started it?
I expressed an interest, not knowing exactly what I was interested in the beginning. I thought, this looks interesting to me from a career path perspective. This could be something I could see myself doing. And I tried a couple of positions. I tried to get into Toys R Us loss prevention. Didn't work out, for different reasons. They selected outside candidates or somebody who'd been there longer, maybe. And then I transitioned over to the Babies R Us group. which ran at the time ran separately from Toys. And it was in that division that had an opportunity to apply for and successfully achieve the loss prevention role. And the great part of that was Babies R Us very much believed in taking store management and using the loss prevention role as a, not a stepping stone, but as a development role for moving into other roles, such as a district manager and so on. And initially, when, you know, my I was lucky enough to get into that position. And the, you know, I was asked, what do you see yourself, you know, what do you want to do next? And I said, I see maybe district manager. Well, that never happened. I enjoyed the loss prevention role so much, I continued on that path. And that's brought me to where I am today. It is, you know, I stayed with it and then gradually was able to get some other roles within this particular industry.
And I'm interested, and if you don't mind, maybe, you know, date it approximately, but what was the focal, what, you know, at that time, was it, you know, was it organized crime gangs? Was it external theft? Where was the internal picture at that? At that
actually, point? That is a good question, because it wasn't typical of what you might just mention there with or organized retail or things like that. It was more to do with the ability to teach within our company. And I had early on at Toys R Us picked up a really good knack for systems. And when you combine that with the loss prevention processes, it became a great avenue for teaching the field management team, which then made me more valuable to the respective, you know, divisions, regions, however you want to slice it up. You know, I became a go-to person and my value went up. And that actually really helped with my development in loss prevention. I brought to the table my skills in operations, and it helped really build that role of loss prevention within the company, because we became more a partnership rather than just your typical, as you mentioned, catching bad guys. That's, I've always said, that is always part, fundamental part of loss prevention. There will always be, unfortunately, a theft aspect of what we do. Over the years, I've seen it evolve or grow into more of a prevention role. You know, we're going to catch people. Question is, how soon can we catch them? How do we minimize our loss? Instead of, you know, in the early days, I think it's fair to say that maybe still now, a lot of people think it's great to get that really high dollar case, right? That super $100,000 plus, that's not a good thing. Yeah. Obviously, we all know that. And so it really, when I came into this role, I knew the systems. I was looked upon as a resource for not just loss prevention partnerships, but within the operation side as well.
Yeah, I guess at that point, you know, a lot of people going into that role, were they ex-military, ex-police? And if you came in from a systems perspective, maybe you were, you know, you did so well because you had a unique perspective. So, I mean, even now that's still the case to a degree, but I'm guessing, you know, a few years ago, was that even more prevalent?
I think so back then, yeah, because back early on when I first got in, there was definitely more of an industry perspective. If you hired somebody, it was somebody with loss prevention experience.
Yeah.
It was somebody possibly from maybe police department, ex-police department. And we at Babies at the time really very much looked internally a lot. It was a balance. You couldn't just have all ex-store managers being at loss prevention. You have to have experience in there as well. But it really made a nice partnership, because you were able to teach your immediate team members on different processes, which helped develop them also, which then, of course, gave more back to the company as a whole because of the knowledge base.
And so, you know, you then transition through a raft of retailers, you know, still staying on the system side and some great experiences. But we arrive at today. Is your day-to-day still about those systems? What takes up the bulk of your time? What do you focus on? You know, what do you think people should be focusing on at the minute?
I think, again, fundamentally, the day-to-day stuff has stayed the same. There's still the usual, we have theft. Every company will deal with that, whether it's externally or internally. The bigger focus nowadays for my team is adding value to the position, to the role. How can we help support our operational partners in the field every single day, whether that be assisting with integrity cases or help them understand where the losses may lie? We look at the statistical data of external, internal, and then, of course, there's that paperwork factor, the non-theft factor of loss. And a lot of a lot of operational issues can cause loss also. When you bring in new store managers, new district managers, they don't have that experience level. And as a result, can lose a lot through that process unless somebody's helping them. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of support. And we want to be that value add. I think that's very important for any LP partner, loss prevention, asset protection partner, is to be a value partner for their operational field. For me personally, day to day, a lot of it is on the project side of what are we doing next? I could be involved in projects for the physical security side. You know, I've been working on one not too long ago that's looking at a new system for our company that may involve the replacement of alarms, for example, or it may be CCTV. There's things like that. I'm also involved in things that are not directly related to loss prevention. I'm put on a lot of different projects because of the level of experience I may have or knowledge I may have. I can add value to some human resource projects as well. So I'm involved in that also. I do find myself spending, I won't say unfortunately, but spending more time on conference calls today. Now, it may be the nature of today's world, but more so than ever, discussing different projects that are going on. And also on leadership calls, if you will, and sharing, you know, cascading information to the leadership in the field, and then working directly with my team in the field to help them be successful with their partnerships.
I guess the number of calls is probably credit to the value that people think you add to those calls. So when you don't get invited to join any of them and your inbox is down to zero, I think that's probably a bad sign. Not
that's a good observation. Absolutely, yeah. Yes. You want to be included.
Yeah. And just as an aside, you know, when you're talking about a security, are you spending, you know, your budget, if you like, or have you reached the point now where, you know, you're involved in, you know, say fire or alarm systems, and that's property? Even if you're replacing cameras, can you get that from a marketing perspective? Because what else it brings to the business, and then you're piggybacking on it, or are you still, to the large part, having to bring forward projects and apply for the capital to fund it?
A bit of both. We have our regular capital expenditures every year that, you know, we have to replace old equipment or look at new things. We are always looking, can we improve upon something? Now, when your company gets bigger, it's a lot harder to do that because when you make a significant change. In our business, we're lucky that our operators are also very familiar with our CCTV, for example. You know, they know how to use it. So if we were to make a complete shift to a new system, that is not as simple as just switching over hardware. You've now got to teach and train multiple people in the field to become familiar with that. So there's those kind of decisions we have to factor. We're also, you know, interested in any new technology that might help us minimize loss. You know, we have the ability to go out and source new, do testing. If we find something, we came across, you know, and as you mentioned, part of what I do now more so than I've done in the past is also look over safety or oversee safety as well. Mm-hmm. And the type of industry we're in, safety is a really big factor, more so than in the past for, say, a regular bricks and mortar retail store, which also has safety. But the type of industry I'm in now is a lot greater. And we'll get into too many specific details, but just this week, one of my team members was telling me they're going to test a new process for spillage, cleaning up a spillage. Well, it's probably going to take about 4 or 5 months to fully test it. So we do have the ability to go out and source different things. And if something really works, and we've had some success in the past of testing things, we've actually implemented them. And like anything, you test it. If it works and you move forward with it, then you have to go through the process of, you know, figure out the capital expenditure, getting the budgets in place, and so on. So yeah, we do have that ability. And we're also, you know, haven't been to a couple of trade shows in the last couple of years for obvious reasons, but those are a great source for finding new things as well. You don't necessarily go to purchase, but you get lots of ideas of what you can move forward with.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, a spillage in your industry is a whole different level of complexity than
that is correct. Yeah,
at Babies R Us, it was perhaps a leak from an 18-month-old customer onto the floor. Whereas exactly. Now, you know, bigger.
And there's also regulatory things we have to look at as well. We're not. It's not just us. There's regulations that have to be followed. So yes, it's a different level completely.
Now, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, I want to just ask you about maybe some trends that you're seeing in the industry at the minute. So have a think about, you know, what you're focusing on, what's landing on your desk, anything that you're seeing industry-wide. But while I leave you to ponder that, we'll hear from our sponsors and we'll be back in a moment.
These days, surveillance cameras aren't just for monitoring a specific area, because with analytics, those cameras can do so much more. Like with any new development, there has been some hype, some disappointments, and lots of new options for the collection and use of data. Axis enables a smarter and safer world by creating network solutions that provide insights for improving security and new ways of doing business. For more information about Axis, please visit our website, www.axis.com.
So welcome back to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Axis Communications. Thanks also to our supporting partner, 3X Logic. I am, of course, joined this week by Gary Moncur. Now, Gary, just before the break there, a little teaser for you to think about, you know, maybe what's going on in the industry, some trends that you see. Is there any insight from your position at the heart of certainly the US? And I know you've always had an international perspective as well, but, you know, what are you seeing?
I think what really what's old is new, in the sense that nothing much has really changed. If we come across a new physical security item, yeah, we'll test it. What's really, I think, changed and what's really helped us a lot in the last few companies I've been with is the exception reporting and the ability to really capitalize on that technology. As an example, most companies now, I believe, ours certainly does, the one we use, has the ability now, when you look at an exception, it takes you right into the system, the CCTV, to find that. That has been extremely valuable. When we first started out with exception reporting, none of that existed. It has evolved so much with technology. Today's world, it's almost, you have to have it. With the number of transactions that we process daily, and any company nowadays will process a significant amount of transactions, the ability to hone in on those exceptions quickly can help really minimize your losses. If we don't catch it, that's when it really explodes. Physical security wise, I haven't seen a lot of changes. I think the technology that goes along with exception reporting, the ability to integrate CCTV with those systems, has really come a long way, like I said. And that for me has been one of the biggest pluses I've seen in the last few years. The typical physical security items you put on your product to protect it, we don't use a whole lot of that in my company right now. We're exploring options possibly in the future of things we can do. Different type of business than what I've seen in the past. Previously, you know, if I go back to my Babies R Us days, yes, we had to use things like, you know, locking cases or spider wraps, for example, things of that nature. And that hasn't changed much through the years. Those are still the same. The biggest focus these days is really on the ability to identify loss early and capture it and stop it early on.
Yeah, and I guess the analytics and the exception reporting, it just, you know, would be fair, it shines a light on where to look, does it? So do you think you're, you know, more efficient with where you're peering? Is that
absolutely? And we actually, in today's world, put more resources into identifying those losses. Not only do we do it on the loss prevention side, but we also teach our operators, you know, give them certain exceptions that they can look at. The more eyes on something, the quicker you're going to identify a problem. And again, that doesn't also mean loss. It could be an operational issue that somebody's, you know, not doing correctly at the store. We still want to identify and correct it, because potential losses could come as a result of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, something I do want to pick up on. A moment ago, you mentioned about the number of calls that you're on and cascading information up and down the organization. And one of the questions I see asked at conferences and in forums an awful lot is, you know, best strategies for influencing the board of your company, and actually how to get, you know, the risk loss prevention agenda onto a board agenda. I mean, you've been consistently doing that for years. You know, is it just because you're a nice guy? Is there a strategy to getting that? How do you get your agenda and you know, your goals and achievements onto that board level?
I think you have to build the brand, first of all. You have to prove yourself and you have to build something. That goes back to what I think I mentioned earlier of being that great partner. You know, we in loss prevention, asset protection, we don't really make any money for a company if we think about it. Yes, you could argue that by potentially what we do is we minimize loss, ultimately we would increase sales. Absolutely 100% true. But the ability to go out and teach and train in the field will get more recognition, in my opinion. Adding that value to your partners in operations, building a brand. So we are the face of loss prevention. The team wants to be the face of all things related to losses. But not only that, training is a huge piece of what we do, being a resource guide. You build that brand because that information will then go back to the leadership in the company. They begin to recognize the value we're adding. So when we do want to make a change, or we do want to add a new process, and we can prove it out, it gets their ear a lot quicker and a lot easier. It's having that trust from the leadership that really makes it easier for us to implement some of the changes we want to do. And I've been lucky very much, very lucky through the years. We've always had, I say we, my team, the people I've worked with, and I've worked with the same team for a number of years, have kind of followed us around, my boss included. And we have been very lucky to have leadership that really believes in loss prevention, first of all. That's a big one, big plus. Having that belief in loss prevention, then when you're going out and you're proving yourself in the field and building that brand and showing the value that you provide is really immense when you're trying to sell something back to the leadership.
Yeah, and it was interesting, you know, and there's kind of a second part, and you may have answered it there, but, you know, you've operated at the top of the industry for a number of years. And it got me thinking, you know, what sort of qualities do you think you need to stay at the top? And you mentioned trust there. Is that building that trust the main one, or is there, you know, other elements that drop in? And I wonder whether companies think they want something else from senior leaders like you, but actually the most successful are those that take your approach.
I think trust is a big part, obviously. I think without that, we're not going to get very far, right? So trust, but proving yourself, and also showing the value, as I mentioned, you know, being a team player, that just sounds like a figure of speech thing, but really being that person who's available, being someone who wants to be part of the bigger team. You know, loss prevention can sometimes get lost because we're so siphoned off into just looking at losses. We've always, I say we again, my team, we've always taken the approach that we are more business partners than we are loss prevention leaders, if that makes sense.
Yep.
We look at the business as a whole. We don't just look at it from loss prevention perspective. If we can go out, and we've actually been asked through the years to go look at different things in the company. We've actually been asked to go out. My team next week is actually facilitating a company-wide teaching session that is not LP related, loss prevention related. They've been asked to participate because of the value that we bring to the table. And it's nothing to do with loss prevention. It's strictly to do with cascading training materials to our leaders, our field team.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you know, processes and, you know, nuances and what to look for risk and loss prevention, you know, you've earned your stripes because you cascade that information down from the top to every employee, you know, right the way through the organization. And I guess you have to learn those skills. So arguably you're as best placed as anybody in the business to share those learnings.
I think we have to understand the business as a whole. You know, it's good to really keep in touch with other parts of the business and be that partner when needed. I think it's very important to always be put the company first, obviously, but then be back that up and show how we can support. We're very much a support mechanism for any company we've worked for in the past. And goes back to that trust with the leadership. When the leadership has that trust in you, they have no problem picking up the phone saying, can you go and handle this for us? And it's happened a couple of times over the last few years for myself in this most recent role, the things that are not directly related to loss prevention.
That's really interesting, actually, because thinking back to conversations I've had with some of the most successful leaders, they are the people that are always available, will always turn their hand to anything, and are those go-to people for the project or the problem that doesn't sit anywhere else. And if you're just not phased, taken on board, I guess you become even more valuable within the business and get more influence.
Absolutely. Yeah, most definitely. I cannot emphasize enough, we always have to add value. Like in a previous role, not name any names, but one day the company woke up and said, we don't need loss prevention anymore. It was that simple. It was just, we're gone, the whole department. Now, we believe we had done an excellent job of building value. Maybe we missed it along the way. And then there's all reasons for that. There's all sorts of reasons, decisions that go into that. I completely understand and respect that. So I think it's very important to consistently show what value a loss prevention professional adds to the company as a whole, not just the day-to-day auditing or catching bad guys, as is generally thought.
And I'm refreshing to hear, because normally the risk or loss department are considered, you know, they're the no people. They say no to everything. You know, yeah. No, you can't put it on the shelf without a tag. No, you can't do this. But, you know, it sounds like you're the yes guy.
Well, that's an interesting point, Paul, because yes, before we say no, we analyze and look at what is the impact to margin, what is the impact to sales, rather than take something off of a shelf. It makes no sense. We have to look at it from a business point of view. You know, we recognize you know, every company is going to lose something. How do you minimize that loss? And what impact does it have on your business as a whole before you start shutting things down? You have to look at the bigger picture. It's not just a simple case of taking it off the shelf. That's great. We can take it off the shelf. And we've proven it out in the past. When one store took something off the shelf, their shrink went down, but so did their sales.
Yeah.
And the margin was eroded because of it. So yes, we look at everything like that. You're correct.
So look, you've touched on analytics. You've touched on CCTV. What's Gary's secret sauce in terms of go-to technology or processes? You get the people on board. Is there anything else that goes into that cauldron to put, you know, your approach together?
You know, technology-wise, no, I think I've touched on that. I think, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it's about making things, I think, easier. Give my team as much as they can, as much information, as much even technology they need to make their job easier. That will transcend back to the field. I really don't think it's any more complicated than that. There's only so much technology we can use. We have all the systems these days that you can possibly have. There's more out there we probably haven't even touched on yet. But, you know, it really is, like I said earlier, what's old is new. Fundamentally, we are, you know, the face in some ways of the company. We're in the field every day helping our management be successful. That's really the key to success, I believe.
Yeah, getting out the ivory tower, shock horror.
Yeah, that's so a concept. True. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the last couple of years have been challenging for that because of, you know, like the whole pandemic thing. And a lot of people missed us being out there. And conversely, we were stuck in the office a lot more than we typically would be. That's unusual.
Yeah. So, look, one final question for you. Clearly, the last couple of years have been challenging. Bricks and mortar retail has been under pressure. How do you see the whole future of stores, you know, new channels and e-coms maybe less relevant in your current role, but are you concerned? Are you excited for the future? What you wake up in the morning, you know, what do you predict for retail?
You're right about my current industry, a little bit different. I don't think that will change anytime soon, even with the electric vehicles. I think we're good for a while. However, the typical retailer, I still think will exist. It's unfortunate. You know this, I think. I pay close attention to what goes on in the UK, and I've seen lots of changes over the last couple of years, especially due to circumstances. But I believe people still want to go out and shop. And I think that was even just as noticeable when lockdowns were lifted and so on. You saw people out there in their thousands shopping again. So people want to shop. I think there will be a balance for years to come. There'll be the online aspect. There's a convenience aspect to online. But fundamentally, people still want to go into the shops and try things on and touch things and hold things. Because even with the e-commerce, as you mentioned, there's still a piece of, if you want to return it, there's an inconvenience. So I see a balance for years to come. I don't see retail, my opinion, changing drastically. There will always be a need for retail shops. Unfortunately, there'll be a turnover of the shops through the years based on business trends. But they'll still be there, I believe.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I'd like to agree. And I think, you know, maybe retail perhaps needs to make it a little bit more of an experience than just a transaction. I mean, I have a very negative opinion of e-com because once a week I have a boot full of boxes that I have to go to the UPS drop-off point, you know, DHL drop-off point, the post office to return a small amount of what's arrived through the door in the week. But it is a pain.
If I have the option of purchasing online and picking up directly the same day, I'd much rather do that.
Yeah,
I'd want to go to the shop still. And it's, to me, that's simpler. But I fully recognize the e-com industry and it's growing, completely understand that. I think retailers have to be part of that and give that option. And I think, if anything, during the pandemic time, it's actually taught retailers how to be more of that way because they had to pivot and adjust their business trends, especially the supermarkets, for you know, collecting, you know, pickup. Because of the COVID pandemic, I think it's actually helped a lot of retailers evolve into that quicker than they were probably planning to originally.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There's a lot of good processes that have come out of this, and certainly, you know, retailers that are around at the minute, you know, we lost a few along the way, but there's a lot thriving at the moment as well because they were ahead on that technology curve. So exactly. Yeah, I'm pleased to see somebody with your insight as well, reinforcing that. Look, Garrett, it's always an absolute pleasure to speak to you. It's been far too long, but thank you very much for taking the time to join us this week and being my guest. And I very, very much look forward to meeting you in person again sometime soon.
Likewise, Paul, I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'll see you hopefully soon this year, possibly.
Thanks now, Gary. Take care.
Thank you.